Good morning. Excuse me. Good to be with you again, beloved. And what a way to begin our meeting this morning. How great thou art. We were in the presence of the greatest of all, the creator of the universe, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. We have the honor of opening his word again today, beloved. So let's turn to 1 Kings in chapter 3. 1 Kings in chapter 3, we start to read verse 3. Very quickly, we can get to the end. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kingdom, or rather this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people whom thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women who were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, except we two were in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she lay on it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, it was dead. But when I had looked at it in the morning, behold, it was not my son whom I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living child is my son, and the dead child is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead child is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son who liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead child, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spoke the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her heart yearned over her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and by no means slay it. She is the mother of it. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Wisdom is what we're going to talk about, and specifically the wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom, we understand, is the quality of being wise, the power of judging rightly and following the soundest course of action. That's wisdom. It's based on knowledge, experience. It's based on understanding. It is to be prudent. It's to be sagacious. We always call old people who are wise, we call them sage or sages. Well, here, Job said, you know what Job said in 32 and 9? Job said, not all great men are wise. Not all old men are sages or prudent or have understanding. But with Solomon, there are certain things we want to look at. We know that God brought him to the kingdom, and God was going to fulfill his covenant. That is, as far as the kingdom is concerned, through Solomon and his line. In the Davidic covenant, God had promised David a perpetual seed. That didn't come through Solomon. It came through Nathan down to Mary, the perpetual seed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the perpetual kingdom came through Solomon and was passed on to Christ through Joseph, perpetual kingdom. And God had promised that there shall not fail a man to sit on his throne, in the throne of his kingdom. When the Lord Jesus was born, the announcement was that God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So that's to be fulfilled. It happened in his first advent. What's going to happen when he comes back to reign on the earth? He's going to sit on a literal throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign over the house of David, over the whole world. The wisdom of Solomon. Solomon recognized that there was a great task before him. He was following in the footsteps of the king. Because when we refer to the kings of Judah and Israel, when we say the king, we are talking about David, the king. The others say, well, he was a king. But when we talk about the king, it was David, the king. And Solomon was thinking over, and it was a great task. And he recognized his limitations, and so he had an audience with God. He was dreaming evidently, but But the Lord knew his heart, and the Lord asked him, what do you want? What a wide open question. If it was for you and me, beloved, what would we ask for? Does it ask for anything? And he asked the Lord for wisdom. He asked the Lord, he said to the Lord, I am limited. I am but a child. And I do not know how to go out or how to come in. I do not understand how to lead thy people. I need wisdom from thee. Oh, beloved, what a request that this man made. It seems to us, beloved, that his priorities were in order. You know, he did not ask something for himself. He didn't want to be wise in order to be superior to others, to make others look bad, because I know so much more than you do. I have so much more knowledge and understanding than you do. He wanted wisdom specifically to make wise judgments. He wanted wisdom specifically to lead the people of God, to teach them what is good and what is bad, to teach them the difference between what is good and what is bad. He says, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me sagacity. Give me prudence. I need to know. Beloved, if we begin right there, things would be so much different for us. Because, you know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. So he asked for wisdom. So first of all, wisdom asked or requested. And when we turn to the New Testament, when we turn to the book of James, for instance, you know the scripture. What does it say here? James chapter 1. And Solomon was right on target. He was right in the mode that God would have him. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, what do you do? Let him ask of God. God says, what are you asking for? What are you requesting? He asks for wisdom. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Liberally? Oh yeah, liberally. He asked for wisdom, and what did God do? He gave him wisdom. He gave him understanding. Not just wisdom, but wisdom above everyone else. None like him before, none like him after. Let him ask of God, because God is the source. God is the source of wisdom. The Lord Jesus, and we have another message on this for another time. The Lord Jesus, in his incarnation, he was the personification of wisdom. And you and I, believers, are the recipients of the wisdom of God. Let him ask of God. How must he ask? Recognizing that God is the source and God is able, it says in James, let him ask in faith. In faith. Not wavering. Not doubting. Is it because we are faithless, why we are limited in so many ways? We don't understand that God is able. God is able. Let him ask in faith. Let him ask. and it shall be given him. God is going to give us abundance if we trust him, if we ask in faith, and not only ask in faith, beloved, but ask unselfishly. Now, why do you want wisdom? Because you want to be superior to somebody else in understanding and knowledge? Is that why you want it? You want this so you can make your neighbor look bad? Do you want all this wisdom so you can, you know, to have a sense of superiority? Or do you want it for the glory of God? In the case of Solomon, it was unselfish. It was for the glory of God. It was for the leading of his people to lead them aright. Let him ask in faith, believing, not wavering, and not doubting. But James also tells us, beloved, that not only must we ask in faith, believing, but we must ask unselfishly. According to chapter 4 of James, we're supposed to ask unselfishly. According to James chapter 4, verse 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. It's not for your self-gratification. When you go to God in prayer, when you ask God, it's not to be one up on somebody else. It's not to be that figure that everybody looks up to and says, there goes a wise man. And we ask not only for wisdom, but we ask for a lot of things. And we haven't received them because we ask amiss. We ask selfishly. We ask that we may consume it upon our lust. We ask for ourselves, not for the glory of God. Let him ask unselfishly. Let him ask in faith, believing. Solomon says, give me an understanding heart. Why? To judge thy people. To be able to discern between good and bad. That's why I need it. More than anything else, I need wisdom. Wisdom. Is it any wonder that he wrote later in the book of Proverbs? He says, get wisdom, get understanding in all you're getting. Get wisdom. It is the primary thing, the primary, unselfishly. I know another person in the scripture who asked God for something. It was an unselfish request. Maybe others didn't recognize it. We say, well, Hannah was barren and she really needed a son badly. Yeah, she needed a son. But when she made that request to God for a son, it was not for herself. You read the account. It's not so much that she was barren and she wanted to take away to remove the reproach. But she had gone to Shiloh. They were going to Shiloh every year. And she had seen things deteriorating there under Eli and his sons. His sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And she saw that the lamp in the temple was burning low. She needed a man child, not for herself, but for the Lord. If you give me a son, I will give him back to the Lord. Eli didn't understand that. And God heard her prayers because it was not for herself. It was for the glory of God. She was not asking amiss. And so God answered her prayer and she got the son. And after he was weaned, she took him up to Shiloh. She gave him, oh, you can see poor Eli there. She gave him the boy. She said to him, you remember that time back there when I was praying and you accused me of being drunk? She said, for this child, I prayed. This child, I prayed. Now I am bringing and I'm giving him to the Lord. Unselfish. Ask. Ask. What do you want? What do you desire from the Lord? For what are you making requests? Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Don't ask amiss. Don't ask so that you can improve yourself over somebody else just to make them look bad, just to make yourself look important. Not only must we ask in faith, we must ask unselfishly, but we must ask in Jesus' name. You don't make a request to God apart from in Jesus' name. And some people say, oh, you can't just say in Jesus. Yeah, you make your request in Jesus' name. Jesus, if you ask in my name, it shall be given unto you. If you ask according to my will, all these are qualifying terms, according to my will, it shall be given unto you. If you shall ask in faith, believing, you will have those requests. The motives are important, beloved. What motivates us? Solomon wanted to lead God's people in the right direction. He wanted to lead them in accordance to the way his father led. He wanted to know the difference between good and bad, and he wanted to lead God's people because he found himself inadequate. Beloved, we are inadequate apart from the Lord. We cannot lead. Leading the people of God require wisdom from above. It require that we look to the Lord. Wisdom ask. But there's something else about the wisdom. Not only was it ask, but wisdom ascribed. And wisdom belonged to God. Remember, I said God is the source. And it belonged to him, and he ascribed to Solomon wisdom. He assigned it to him. He imputed wisdom to Solomon. So Solomon's wisdom was from above. It was God-given. It was God-ascribed. And, beloved, let's make sure that when we make judgments, they are sound, they are godly, they are made with the wisdom that cometh down from above, because all wisdom is not the same. There's the worldly wisdom, and that's not the wisdom of God. In fact, the worldly wisdom causes those who possess it to deny God. And the Bible says concerning that worldly wisdom, it is sensual, it is devilish, it's demonical. It's earthy. But the wisdom that cometh down from above is first pure. It's pure. It is easy to be entreated. The wisdom of God. That's the wisdom. That's the wisdom that God ascribed to Solomon. Wisdom that cometh down from above. So wisdom ascribed in verse 10, it says, the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked this thing. That Solomon asked, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life. We pray a lot for that, long life, an extension of life. Neither hast asked riches for thyself. Probably 99% of the people in the world, if you give them this option, they'd ask for riches. That's the number one thing. No, has asked the life of thine enemies. Wow, you would like to see those people under your feet, wouldn't you? People you don't like. People who've done you wrong. You didn't ask for that. But has asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to lead the people of God. God says, I have done according to what you have asked. I have done it. Verse 12. But God is, remember he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Here's a demonstration of God's liberal giving to Solomon. He says, not only will I give you what you have asked, but I will also give you what? I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Give it to all men liberally. I give you both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I'm going to give you more than you ask. I'm going to give you liberally. And what did Paul teach the Ephesian saints? He was praying for their comprehension in spiritual things. Remember in Ephesians chapter 3, he was praying for them, their comprehension of spiritual things. And this is what he says at the end of that prayer, praying for the saints there at Ephesus, after he had prayed for them, that they might know certain things. He said in verse 20 of chapter 3, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is doing for Solomon exactly this, more than he asked, more than he thought of. He just wanted wisdom to lead God's people. Here he is, the wisest man on the earth. Here he is, the richest man on the earth. And they compared him to all the sages, and he was wiser than them all. Wiser than all. Because he asked unselfishly. He asked for God's favor, not for himself, but for the people of God. When we go before the throne of grace, beloved, is it with selfish motives? Is it just for us? One songwriter penned, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayers may be for others. Others. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. That's our God. Let him ask and he will give us abundantly. He will give us more than we ask or think. Because you have asked this, I also will give thee that which thou hast not asked. When was the last time we asked, beloved? Could we trust God for really the things that we need? Do we really ask him? You know, the Lord Jesus spoke a lot about asking in his earthly ministry. And he said to the disciples and others, he says, your heavenly Father know that you have need of these things. You are man, you are evil, and you know how to give good gifts unto your children. If you, for instance, your child come up to you and ask you for a bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent? And if you know how to give good gifts, you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven. God imputed wisdom. He ascribed wisdom to Solomon. What kind of a wisdom? It was not one-dimensional. You know, so some people, well, they are wise here in this, they are wise in that particular area. But his wisdom was multifaceted. It was multidimensional. Look at some of the things. Verse 29. I'm I'm trying to cut some corners here. chapter 4, verse 29. It says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and very much understanding and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt," and so on. "He was wiser than all men," and these are the sages here. Let's go down. "And he spoke," verse 32, 3,000 proverbs. We just have a few of them here. But he spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. We only have one, the best one, the Song of Songs. But he spoke 1,005. He spoke of trees, expert in plant and botany. He was an expert. He had a multidimensional understanding and in various disciplines. "From the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall." He spoke also of beasts, animal husbandry, expert, and a fowl on the creeping things and fish and so on. Oceanography. He was an expert in so many things. Psychology. Poetry. Expert. God gave him wisdom. He was able to address these things with expertise unlike any other man. That's the wisdom God ascribed. Now, having wisdom is one thing. Knowing how to use it is something else. So the next point is wisdom applied. Applied. And we read about the two women who had a son, each of them, and one died. Wow. Every time, this is one thing the world likes. This is one story the world likes. They'll always tell you about the wisdom of Solomon, and it would come to this. We have a lot of wise people today on the earth. But in order for us to determine, to make this determination today, we would have to refer to science, to DNA, in order to determine who is the mother, not Solomon. This is sanctified wisdom and understanding. Wow. And so, this is the application of wisdom. Wisdom applied. Wisdom revealed. "Give her the child. She is the mother." Because what kind of mother would say, "Divide the child"? Wow. This is not the wisdom that is earthly and sensual and demonical. This is the wisdom that cometh down from above. Ask what you want. Ask. And God gave him wisdom, and he was able to apply that wisdom. Wisdom applied in this case and in so many other cases. And James in chapter 3, and I hope you can turn to that later, because our time is going. We have something else to talk about. But earthly wisdom versus heavenly wisdom, and that is in James in chapter 3. James in chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. There's one wisdom that's earthly, it's devilish, it's demonic, it's not from above, and that wisdom that cometh down from above. And the first thing about God's wisdom is that it is pure. It is pure. Wisdom applied. "Bring me a sword," he said. "Let me divide the child." And right away, he would know who the real mother is. He would know by that action, he would know that who is the real mother. He didn't have a DNA to go on to make tests and things like that. But he had the wisdom of God. Wisdom applied. When God called Moses, for instance, in Exodus 31, when God called Moses to build the tabernacle, God gave him such intricate details, colors, materials, dimensions, and all these things. God said to him, see that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. No deviations, no alterations, no change. But God gave him something. He gave him craftsmen. Craftsmen. Maybe we just look at that very briefly. Craftsmen. They were skilled in the trade. Exodus 31. Skilled in their trade. And God says, I've given them wisdom so that they can build the tabernacle in accordance to my specifications. 31. Okay. If I stop talking, I'll find it. Exodus 31. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design the skillful works, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship and so on. He called these men and he endued them. He ascribed to them special wisdom and skill in order to build the tabernacle in accordance to his design and his will. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give. He will give exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He would give liberally. We give liberally. But let's make sure in our asking we don't ask amiss. We don't ask for selfish purposes. We don't ask for the lives of our enemies. We don't ask for things that would be detrimental to others, but things that would glorify the name of the Lord. So wisdom asked, wisdom ascribed by God, and wisdom applied by the recipient. Solomon applied the wisdom that God gave him. And we saw from our reading his skill in determining the real mother of the child. Heavenly wisdom. And if we have wisdom asked and wisdom ascribed and wisdom applied, then we have wisdom acknowledged. Wisdom acknowledged. Look at the last verse of chapter 3. Wisdom acknowledged. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. They saw it was evident, it was manifest. And they had to acknowledge that he was wise. They heard, they saw, they feared. We already looked at chapter 4 and we've seen the wisdom that God had given him was not one-dimensional, but was a multi-dimensional. It was multifaceted. He had manifold wisdom. Wisdom and expertise in all areas of life. Because God endued him with wisdom. Wisdom applied and wisdom acknowledged. You know, and no more evident was that wisdom acknowledged, beloved, as in chapter 10. Remember the queen of Sheba? She had heard that this man possessed wisdom, and she said, I didn't believe it. Go with me in chapter 10. I don't believe it. I'm going to prove that he's not that wise. I'm going to prove it. He is not that wise. So she tested him with hard questions. And he answered them all. He told her all that was in her heart. And she came to the conclusion. She acknowledged. She said it was a true report that I heard. Verse 7, howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. And on she would go to describe. But she tested him. And she had to acknowledge, yes, you are wise beyond what I heard. In fact, the half was not told me. It is a true report that I heard. Wisdom acknowledged. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here on this earth, we can't end without bringing him in, because he was and is infinitely wiser than Solomon. He was, in fact, the source of Solomon's wisdom. It came from him. And he would say to those who had seen him in action, those who had seen his work, those who had observed his life, he said to them that the queen of the south shall rise in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it, because she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What a condemnation. They had wisdom, the manifestation of wisdom in their midst, and they did not believe. He said, you're going to be condemned by this woman who only heard of Solomon. And now you have the source of wisdom, and you do not believe. He would upbraid the cities which most of his mighty works were done. He would say, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which are done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have remained until this day. They would not have been destroyed. They would have seen enough, and they would have turned away from their sins. And unto you, Capernaum, you who were exalted unto heaven, you know they were exalted unto heaven because God was in their midst. You shall be brought down to hell, he said. But if the mighty works which were done in you were done in Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. There's a more sorer punishment for those who have seen God in the flesh and have turned away from him. They did not believe. He said to them, you would not come to me that you might have life. A greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all. This is a faithful saying that Paul says, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's worth hearing. That's worth responding to. If the Queen of Sheba can respond to the wisdom, the report that she heard of Solomon, certainly you can respond to the greater than Solomon, because he came that you and I might have life, have it more abundantly. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for the written word, for whatsoever written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We thank thee for the lessons we can learn from the life of Solomon. We thank thee even more for the greater than Solomon, God manifest in the flesh. John says, we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, that we would respond to him, and we would bow at his feet And like the Queen of Sheba, we would say, the half has not been told. We give thee thanks as we ask thy blessing on thy people here. Bless thy word to each heart and preserve and protect the saints and protect the testimony here. We humbly pray as we part the one from the other. Lord, take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety and guide us by thy counsel. Lead us by thy Holy Spirit and glorify thyself in us. We humbly pray for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.